Our last case this morning is 2020-229, Disciplinary Counsel versus Jason Allen Sarver. We have the relator here, Don Sheets, to argue on behalf of the Disciplinary Counsel, and oral argument has been waived on behalf of Mr. Sarver. Mr. Sheets.
Thank you. Good morning. Again, my name is Don Sheets. I'm here on behalf of relator, the Office of Disciplinary Counsel. Today, we're asking you to overrule respondents' first three objections and instead adopt the board's findings of fact, its conclusions of law, and indefinitely suspend respondent from the practice of law with his reinstatement subject to conditions. As you stated, Chief Justice, the other side has waived. However, we wanted to appear just to highlight a few points and to answer any questions that the board might have. Respondent's first objection relates to the board's finding that he violated Rule 1.4. It's important to note that respondent conceded this violation at his disciplinary hearing. While testifying, the panel asked him about this exact violation, and he unequivocally admitted to violating Rule 1.4A1. We've cited the transcript in our brief. It's page 180. And as a result, this issue has already been conceded. And based upon that testimony and the rest of the evidence in the record, the board's finding with respect to that violation is well supported. Similarly, with respondent's second objection, he's now objecting to the board's finding that he violated Rule 3.4C. However, he stipulated to that violation before the hearing, he supported that stipulation during the hearing, and he continued to support that stipulation in his post-hearing brief. It's only now in his objections that he's for the first time objecting to this violation. Based upon respondent stipulations, his testimony, and the rest of the evidence in the record, the violation is well supported, and we ask you to overrule that objection as well. Respondent's third objection related to the board's finding that respondent's attempt at providing restitution didn't deserve mitigation credit. The board's finding was correct. We've cited cases in our brief that demonstrate that respondent's attempt at restitution was both untimely and ineffective. He only issued a check approximately a week before the disciplinary hearing. The check that he issued was not for the full amount. And it was to the estate when he understood that Allstate was going to reissue the same $50,000 a second time. Thus, any restitution negotiation or discussion needed to be made with Allstate and not with the estate itself. So based upon its untimely and ineffective nature, respondent does not deserve mitigating credit for his attempt at restitution.
Counselor, can I just clarify before you go on with more of your analysis? Is the board recommending disbarment or indefinite suspension?
That leads right into my next point. Thank you. The board is recommending disbarment. We recommended indefinite suspension at the board level. We're maintaining that recommendation today, although we acknowledge it is a close call. However, based upon our reading of the case law, this case more aligns with those cases receiving indefinite suspensions. Disbarment cases typically are more severe, and the cases that the board relied upon have some distinguishing characteristics, which I'll get to in a minute. However, we submit that this case is most akin to the Meyer case, which is discussed in our brief as well as the board report. These two cases, the instant case and the Meyer case, have similar underlying suspensions. So respondent had a 6-month actual suspension with a portion stayed, and Meyer had a 12-month actual suspension with a portion stayed. So there's that similarity. Additionally, both this case and the Meyer case involve similar misconduct between the two cases. So Meyer was suspended and then continued to practice while under suspension, was suspended for that, and then continued again practicing while under suspension. So there was that common thread through the Meyer cases. Similarly,
in both cases, did the respondent lie to the Supreme Court by filing affidavits, false affidavits?
They both lied, but in different ways. So Meyer lied in her first disciplinary case to relator. She denied practicing while under suspension. So by extension, lying to the court, as this office is an arm of the court.
And Sarver lied twice in the first case.
Sarver has lied quite a bit. You're correct, Your Honor. Yes. A
lot of lying going on.
And that's the continuing and common thread throughout Sarver's cases, just as Meyer had the common threat of practicing while under suspension, of ignoring suspension orders given by this court. Sarver has a threat of dishonesty that runs through all of his discipline.
Including a filing of false affidavit with this court.
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. And make no mistake, we acknowledge that is serious and severe misconduct.
Well, let's talk about some of the others. What about from December 12th through March 29th, taking money out of the probate account for his own use on multiple occasions without probate approval.
That's absolutely correct. That is the basis for one of the 3.4C violations. And in fact, respondent stipulated to that. He stipulated to the conduct. He stipulated that that conduct warranted a 3.4C violation.
And falsely signed the back of a check.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are talking about serious and severe misconduct. And he does not have the, I'm sorry.
And sent a release, a falsely signed release, to settle a lawsuit with the insurance company on November 30th.
Correct. He forged his client's signature on the check. Absolutely, Your Honor. You are correct.
And is, you know, it's a little confusing with the briefs. Is there money owing on restitution or not? And if so, how much?
$50,000 was paid. Respondent took that money, improperly dispersed it. When this all came to light, Juanita Mustin, his former client, retained new counsel. New counsel negotiated with Allstate, and Allstate agreed to reissue the same $50,000. However, at the time of the hearing, they were waiting on probate court approval, right? So they wanted to go through the correct process this time,
right,
and ensure that there was probate court approval before issuing a second check. So my understanding, I expect that process to be completed. I expect Allstate to graciously issue the settlement a second time, and I expect it to be handled properly the second time. However, there is the issue.
Counsel, what happens to the first $50,000?
Well, that respondent needs to repay. And
to whom?
Well, it'll be if Allstate reissues the $50,000 to the estate and everything goes as it should have gone the first time, then he needs to pay $50,000 to Allstate.
But hasn't there been some restitution?
Not yet. He attempted. He did issue a check to the estate. However, the estate rejected that check because it would have endangered Allstate reissuing it. So they wanted to ensure that Ms. Mustin received that $50,000 from Allstate. So they rejected respondent's check.
So there has been no amount given to the estate, Ms. Mustin, the estate for the child. There has been no dollar amount.
As of the hearing, so Juanita Mustin had received approximately $4,200. It was an improper disbursement from respondent. Respondent met with her in December in the month following his suspension and gave her a disbursement, convincing her that it was okay, essentially stating—
Wasn't one of his arguments that she should give that money and back as restitution, the additional $2,000 amount improperly dispersed to a third party, that they should be responsible for restitution of those amounts?
He testified at hearing that ideally, and his word was ideally, he wouldn't have to pay the full amount, that they would return the money that they improperly received. However, he indicated that if ordered to do so, if he had to bear that burden, he would reimburse the entire amount. And I think it's incumbent upon him to pay the entire amount. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He convinced Ms. Mustin, who trusted him, that it was okay for her to take that disbursement. She should not have to return that money. He should be responsible.
Some more lies.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we're recommending an indefinite suspension. He does not have the requisite character and fitness as it stands today to engage in our profession. He doesn't. He has amply demonstrated that.
And yet the board is recommending a disbarment.
They are. They are recommending a disbarment. We just read the case law and we agree it's a close call. This is serious misconduct. We're not asking for him to have a pass. He may never practice law again. And if he ever wants to, he needs to demonstrate that he has the requisite character and fitness. But looking at the case law, this appears to be more akin to the Meyer case than the cases that the board relied upon. So when you look at the cases that the board relied upon, there are a few things that stand out. The underlying suspension, the original suspension, was longer and for more severe misconduct. Or the respondents continued to pick up new clients even while under suspension. Or the following misconduct in the second case was much grander in scope than we're dealing with here. So if you look at Prietel, Frazier, and Mbakbuo, those all involved originally indefinite suspensions. So those folks were indefinitely suspended for severe misconduct, misappropriating client funds, whereas respondent was on a 6-month actual. So that is a distinguishing characteristic that helps bring it in line with cases that have received an indefinite suspension. And if you look at Mbakpuo and Frazier, Frazier had a 15 count complaint the second time. The scope of his misconduct the second time around was much greater. Mbakpuo had 4 years of misconduct the second time around when he was charged. Whereas, I mean, respondent's misconduct is severe. I don't want to miscommunicate with you. It is severe and it is serious, but it's a much smaller span than the cases the board is relying on. And if you look at the Fletcher and the Shaw cases, it's similar. Shaw had a 2 year actual suspension, much longer than respondent's original suspension. He continued picking up new clients. And when you read that opinion, it affected many more clients than a single client, as in this case. And similar with Fletcher, he continued practicing under suspension for 15 months, appeared in court, he lied as well. Just a greater scope of misconduct. And one further point with regard to Prietel, he came back and continued to contest the violations throughout the disciplinary process to deny that he had ever engaged in the unauthorized practice of law or practice while under suspension. Now, while we had some contested issues at the hearing, respondent in this case did stipulate to the vast majority of the facts, many exhibits, severe violations.
And then filed objections to things he had stipulated to.
He did, yes. That's absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's I don't true. See that as knowing that he did something wrong, then.
I agree. He has failed to acknowledge the scope and breadth of his misconduct, although he has acknowledged a great deal of it. He acknowledges lying to relator. He acknowledges filing the false affidavits, which contrasts with Prietel, who didn't get any of it and contested everything the whole way through. So we acknowledge it's a close call. We're not saying that this is in any way okay. It is serious and severe misconduct, and he may never practice again. He does not have the requisite character and fitness to engage in our profession as it stands today. However, in looking at case law that involves disbarment and indefinite, we analyze this case as being closer to the indefinite cases for the reasons that I've cited today, and distinguishable from the board's cases for the reasons I've cited. If there are no further questions that I can ask, we'll rest on our briefs, but I'm happy to ask anything else, to address anything else that I can.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.